All right, we are starting here on session number 6, the sermon's exposition. Now we're going to come back to the original verse that we started with, talking about the pastor's job description. And Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now that word feed literally means to shepherd the flock of God. It is the verb form of the noun that is shepherd. So you are a pastor, and because you are a pastor, you're a shepherd. And so a pastor is a shepherd to his flock, and the membership is the flock over which God has made you the shepherd. Now let me give you some qualities that you're going to need to be a good preacher and a good shepherd. First of all, the shepherd guards the flock. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 was talking to the Ephesian elders, and he says this, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." If you're a shepherd, you know that there are those that would steal your sheep, there are those that would devour your sheep, and those that would harm your sheep. And you have to guard your flock constantly. And of course, one of the best ways you can guard your flock is through good preaching. But the shepherd guards the flock. All right, number 2, the shepherd guides the flock. No shepherd ever said, all you sheep over they want to graze over here say, bah. And all you sheep who want to graze over here say, bah. Then he counts the bahs and says, well, we're going this way. That's not a shepherd. Listen, you are the shepherd. A shepherd is to feed and lead, and the people are to swallow and follow. I mean, you're the shepherd. You're the shepherd. So there's certain things you don't take a vote on. John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. Watch this. And they follow me. So the shepherd guards the flock. The shepherd guides the flock. But what we're going to be talking about today is the shepherd grows the flock. You're to feed the flock. Did you know that hungry sheep will bite one another? And if you have to keep your people fed and full of the Word of God to keep them healthy and to keep them in unity. Same thing on the battlefield. If you don't have a challenge for your people, they're going to turn on one another. Do you know when soldiers get in a fight with each other? Not on the battlefield, but in the barracks. In the barracks. That's when soldiers get in a fight with one another. But on the battlefield, they stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back. You have to keep your people out there ahead, leading, working, serving, dreaming. And the way to do that, obviously, is to feed them. Healthy sheep. Finding good pasture and plenty of grass are not going to bite and devour one another. Now put this verse down, Acts chapter 6, verse 3. This is the study of the selection of the first deacons, I believe. Wherefore, brethren, this is what the apostles said, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What was this business? It was in that particular case, feeding widows. It doesn't say the business, this business. We'll talk about that later on. Deacons are not the business managers of the church. They are the servants to do such things as to wait on tables. But we, who? The apostles. And we'll say today, the shepherds. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Remember we talked about priorities yesterday? And we said that prayer is more important than preaching, and preaching is more important than administration. The two top priorities are prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's what he says right here. Now, we hear so much today about seeker-sensitive, boomer-targeted, market-driven. and we hear less about Bible-based and Christ-centered. Now, all of those things have their place that I've just mentioned. But preacher, brother, listen, it is not your job to fill the pew.
That's right, brother.
It is your job to fill the pulpit.
That's right.
And when you fill the pulpit, the rest of it is in God's hands. But I have been ministering for a long time. Every church I've ever pastored has grown. I mean, double, tripled, quadrupled. And that's a blessing. I don't say that boastfully, but I give this testimony. The Word of God will get the job done. The Word of God will get the job done. Now, you can build an organization apart from strong Bible preaching, but you cannot build a New Testament church apart from strong Bible teaching. So the need today is for expository preaching. Now, what is expository preaching? Some people think that expository preaching is taking a chapter or a paragraph in a chapter and explaining it. That is not expository preaching. When you go get your lexicon and you discover what every word means and you give the geographical and the sociological background of that passage of Scripture and you explain it and you go through it verse by verse by verse, and you say you're an expositor preacher. No, you're not. As a matter of fact, that kind of preaching will build a church right on down. People will get tired of it. Exposition is not pure exegesis, but it is a matter of a scholarly effort that has aim and development that comes out of one passage of Scripture. You know, there's so many things that a passage of Scripture can teach. But exposition finds what you want to teach out of that particular passage. None of us have ever squeezed all the juice out of the gospel grape. But what we have to do is to find out what God wants us to do and what God wants us to teach that way. Expository preaching is taking a chapter or a book, or a paragraph, or a verse, and finding a theme that comes directly out of that chapter, out of that paragraph, out of that book, drawing it right out of that, and preaching it. And so there are many various kinds of exposition, and don't get locked into one particular kind. But let me give you a general statement about what exposition is. Exposition is explanation, argumentation, illustration, application, and motivation. It is taking a passage of Scripture, finding a theme in that passage of Scripture, and then you explain it, explanation, argumentation, illustration, application, and motivation. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." You cannot, I say it one more time, you cannot have a New Testament church without good exposition of the Word of God. Somebody gave me a book yesterday from Dr. Vance Havner. I knew him personally and traveled with him. By the way, I asked Dr. Havner one time, I said, "Dr. Havner, how many points should a sermon have?" You remember he had sort of a nasal tone? He said, "At least one." Dr. Havner said, "The Bible doesn't say, how shall they hear without a brass band? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, listen, learn to do exposition. It's going to save you a lot of time. As exposition goes up in the pulpit, counseling goes down in the office. You can do so much preemptive counseling just by opening the Word of God. There's power in the Word. I found this over the years, it is an open secret. Let me remind you again what the Word of God does. Number one, it convicts. For it says the Word of God reproves. Reprove. That's what he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. It means it convicts. It brings conviction. You know, God says in another place, is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Did you know you can take a hammer and begin to tap on a rock? I didn't mean strike it, just tap on it. Just keep tapping and tapping and tapping, and the hardest rock will split. That's an amazing thing. And God's word is like that hammer. I've seen people come to listen to me, you know, they've stayed up late one night and watched Elmer Gantry, or they've read about the pedophile cases, or these other pastors who've lowered the flag, and all of us now operating under, you know, the suspicion. And this man, kind of cynical and secular, will come in and look at me from under his eyebrows, and who is this guy? What is his motivation? You know, and you know how the average man, not average, but many men think. But I found out when you get Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in the Word of God, the hardest rock will crack. The Word of God reproves. And then so let's put it down. If you're filling in words, it convicts. All right, secondly, the Word of God corrects, because he says not only does it reprove, but it rebukes. Sometimes you have to do very plain preaching. And one of the ways to have courage is to stand behind the Word of God. And so, you know, and I tell people, look, if you don't agree with this, don't take it up with me. Amen. Don't even come see me about it. Talk to God about it. Now, if I'm not preaching the Word of God, come see me. But if this is the Word of God, I'm stepping out of the argument. You take it up with God. And that gives me courage. Have you ever seen a preacher preach with fear in his eyes? God have mercy. God have mercy. Oh, when you can stand up and open the Word of God and say, there it is. That is God's Word. Now, I'm not the author. I'm not the editor. I'm the newspaper boy, and I'm trying to put the newspaper there on your front porch. You can stand behind the Word of God, and people will not accuse you of preaching your own opinions. Now, the Word of God convicts. It really does. It corrects, and it constructs. Notice it says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There are many who need to be exhorted with encouragement, edification, and instruction. In our little time this morning, our little devotional time, that was an exhortation. I hope that was an edification. I hope that gave you something to live on. Your people need that. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. There's no substitute for preaching. Always be ready to preach. If someone were to drop a handkerchief and say, preach, you ought to be on the second point before it hits the ground. just love to preach. Spurgeon said, concerning getting ready to preach, he said, kill yourself with work and then pray yourself alive again. Our commission is steadfast. Paul said to Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. That means you take opportunities and you make opportunities. I have no confidence in the man who will not preach unless he's paid. None. I've preached in all kinds of situations. I told you yesterday, I believe, about preaching on a bus bench and meeting a man that later became a key partner in my life, a very godly man, one of my dearest friends. I've preached in taverns. I've preached in rescue missions. I've preached in trailer parks. I've preached anywhere that God would give me an opportunity to preach. That means be instant in season and out of season. I've preached for pay. I've preached for no pay. and I have paid to preach. Because this is my calling, and I can testify that God has taken care of me quite well. So don't wait until things are just right to preach. And by the way, that man I told you about was standing in front of that hotel. He bought me an automobile later on, brand new car, and gave it to me. And I said to him, I said, Doyle, I'm thankful for this car. And I said, I receive it from Jesus through you. But before I receive it, I want to tell you two things. Number one, if you ever get into sin, I'm going to preach to you about it. And number two, if God calls me away, I'm taking it with me. Listen, you cannot get indebted to anybody. You have to be God's man. But, you know, I never would have thought that just walking up and talking to a man after I'd preached on a bus bench would have such an effect on my life. But it did. That wasn't in season. That was out of season. That wasn't official preaching. But just let the Word of God be in you like a fire in your bones. It's amazing how you can make opportunities to preach. Down in Fort Pierce, Florida, I used to have a man in my church. His name was Charlie Fisher. They called him Uncle Charlie. His son was on Billy Graham's staff and literally was Billy Graham's ghostwriter for a great number of his sermons, Billy's golf partner, and was just a great man named Lee Fisher. But Lee had a daddy, Uncle Charlie Fisher. He was a wiry little guy. He was a Wesleyan preacher. And, he was in love with God. But he was one of the most eccentric men that I have ever met. I just want to talk to you a little bit about preaching in season or out of season. He was the kind of guy, he had an old airplane, canvas sides. He had written in boxcar letters down the side of that airplane, Christ is the answer. And he would wait to be a county fair or something. And he got in there, he'd fly over, circle the fair, and dump out baskets full of tracts on those people. They'd look up there and say, Christ is the answer. Uncle Charlie, these stories are so true. Uncle Charlie got a projector. And one of these projectors back before we had video CDs and all of that, movie projector. He went down to a very bad section of our city. Dangerous. It was called Avenue D. Uncle Charlie took his projector by himself, went down there and went into a bar room and said to the owner of the bar room, I need to show a movie. I don't have anywhere to plug it in. Can I plug it in here? And the owner said, yes, you can plug it in here. So they plugged it in, stood up and said, everybody, listen to me. So we don't have a movie. It's a religious movie. There can't be any smoking or drinking. Do you understand? And he showed that movie. And God fell on that place. It was about the second coming of Christ. And he showed that movie. They said, I want every head bowed. He said, now, if you believe this, and you want to turn from your sin and give your heart to Jesus Christ, lift up your hand. And a number of them did. Among those was the owner of that bar. He went to her and he said, and she was a woman, said, lady, did you mean that? She said, yes, sir, I did. I went to see her. I talked to her. She met Jesus because of a man had holy boldness to preach the Word of God. When Uncle Charlie died, he preached his own funeral. He literally did. He told his son Lee, he said, now Lee, when I die, he said, get all my friends together. You don't have to do a thing in the world except just push the button on this tape recorder. He said, I've already got the sermon done. And we got in there, and everybody got quiet. And Lee said, this is what Daddy wants. Y'all sit down and listen. So he pushed the button. He said, hello, everybody. He said, this is Uncle Charlie. He said, I'm up in heaven. He said, it's wonderful up here. And he began to preach about heaven. He said, I want you to come and join me in heaven. That's being instant in season and out of season, isn't it? I mean, you take opportunities and you make opportunities. Well, you study the story of Jesus. Jesus preached on mountaintops. He preached in a boat. He preached in the fields. He preached at nighttime to Nicodemus. But all good preaching is expository preaching. Now, let me give you some reasons for expository preaching before we talk about how to do it. Number one, it gives confidence to the preacher. I've already alluded to this. But when you hide behind the Word of God, you have biblical authority. When you have wrestled with a text until that text won't let you go, like old Jacob wrestling with an angel, your heart will burn to preach, and you'll get up and you will preach with a holy boldness and with a confidence because you're standing behind the Word of God. You're not giving a spiritual knick-knack or a sandwich. You're giving a steak right out of the Word of God. I tell you what else expository preaching will do. Not only will it give you confidence, but expository preaching gives consistency to the preacher. It's easy to do rut preaching. If we're not careful, we're going to ride our own hobby horses. We're going to come to our own particular ideas when we choose a text. But the Bible says we're to preach the whole counsel of God. Doesn't it say that? Paul said, I'm not shunned to declaring to you the whole counsel of God. A dear brother sitting over here, I don't know where he's sitting today, but asked yesterday, what about preaching on social issues and government? Of course we should, but don't go to seed on it. What about preaching about pornography? Of course we should, but don't go to seed about it. You need to preach and declare the whole counsel of God. And I'm telling you, consistent biblical exposition builds strong churches, and it makes for longer pastorates. I've been here for 32 years in this same church, preaching Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. If you were to put Jay Leno or anybody else in here, one of your best communicators in the lecture thing, they would give a good talk, and they could keep the congregation for a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, or whatever. But after a while, the people would be climbing the walls wanting to get out. Right. And if Adrian is up there just giving lectures, I could do that for a while, but I'd run out of stuff. But if you preach exposition, you're going to have constancy. The Bible is an inexhaustible source for preaching. Your people are going to come, and you'll have a long pastorate if you want it. If you don't preach exposition, your people are going to get tired of you. They really are. I heard one preacher said, I believe in long pastorates. He was 80 years old. He said, I only pastored 3 churches in all my ministry. Stayed with every one of them until they died. Well, to the contrary. Exposition will make your church alive and vibrant, and your people will come with an open Bible expecting. You know, if you would come to Bellevue Baptist Church, and when the man gets up, you'll see the people open their Bibles and open their notebooks. And the sheep look up expecting to be fed. And every now and then I'll have a guest preacher, and he'll preach a missionary sermon. I mean, he'll take a text and depart and go everywhere. And I see the people, you know, they're sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. And then they close their notebook, close their Bible, and look up and listen to that man draw from his own well. Exposition gives confidence. It gives consistency. I'll tell you what else it does. It gives courage. I've already alluded to this. You know, if you are a preacher and you're preaching exposition, you can preach on delicate subjects. You can preach on divorce. You can preach on homosexuality. As I mentioned the other day, you can preach on incest. I dare say that most of us have never preached a sermon on incest because it's such an ugly thing. And such a, you don't even want to have to think about it. Isn't that true? But if you're preaching through the Word of God and you come to these passages, then you can preach this and not have to feel overly embarrassed or defensive about it. You preach things as they come in the Word of God. I had another friend of mine, she was a woman, and she loved me. And every Easter, she had a shoe store. She would buy me a brand new pair of shoes every Easter and a new suit. You like those kind of friends. Every Easter. Her name was Bertha. And Bertha would buy me a suit and a new pair of shoes every Easter. And I kind of looked forward to it. She's a dear friend. I loved her. But one day she did some things that I didn't think were particularly right. And I preached. And it just so happened that the Word of God lined up with what she was doing. And I just preached it. She called me the next day on the phone. She said, "Were you preaching to me Sunday?" I said, "Bertha, I was shooting down in a hole. If you were down in it, I can't help it." And you know, that gives you courage to preach what you ought to preach, because it is the Word of God. You're not just picking on somebody in your congregation. If anybody's picking on anybody, God's picking on them. And then here's the fourth reason. Expository preaching gives content to the preacher. You don't have to search for a text every week. You know, when I first started preaching, the most agonizing thing was to determine what to preach. I'd pick up books of sermons and I'd read this and I'd read that and I'd get a text, a passage, and I'd try to outline it and I'd sweat and figure, and what am I going to preach this time? And half the week was just kind of determining what I was going to preach, or more than that. And you know, and I'd get started and go about halfway through and, oh no, that's no good. Wad it up and throw it away and start on something else. And you know, I did a lot of Saturday night specials. The early Sunday morning, I'm still laboring, oh God, help me, dear Jesus, I've got to preach. You know, if I don't get off the runway, I'm going to hit the pine trees. And Lord, you've got to help me. But you know, when you do exposition, it's an open secret. You know far enough ahead of time what you're going to preach. You begin to collect and collate materials, and I'm going to show you how to do that. And the wonderful thing about exposition, you can gather your books, gather your notes, gather your files, keep that stuff out on your desk. And you don't have to go dig it all back out again. You can just take up where you left off. And that's so wonderful to have that content. I think of how many times I used to agonize as a young preacher over what I'm going to preach. But if you do exposition, you will keep, you'll have incredible content. There are a lot of passages that I would have been tempted to pass over had I not been doing exposition and have to wrestle with that passage. But when I wrestle with it, all of a sudden the light comes. I say, man, this is glorious. I can hardly wait till Sunday. And then when Monday comes, there's the next step. All the work is laid out there on my desk. I know right where to take up where I left off. But I want to remind you again about what exposition is. Exposition is not explaining everything in a chapter or in a paragraph. If you do that, you may call yourself a teacher, but you are not a preacher. You're not an expositor. Exposition that grows the flock is finding a theme, and we're going to talk more about what a theme is when we talk about the preparation of the sermon. But it is finding a truth that comes right out of that passage of Scripture. And you can bring all the rest of the Bible to bear upon it. But your people can stay there with their Bibles open and follow you, ta-ta, 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 without turning a page. And they get the idea, hey, this really is the Word of God. This is coming right out of the Word of God. And so expository preaching is a way of explaining the Word of God and illustrating the Word of God and applying the Word of God in such a way that it changes the hearts and lives of your people.